Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast here. Your host here at Revival Now, John Saxbury. I want to talk to you today about Crucify the Flesh. Crucify the Flesh. I want you to open your Bible with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. And we're going to go into the 23rd verse. And he said to all, "If anyone shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself, or loses his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my word, and of him the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his great glory, and his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy of angels. But I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who will not taste the sting of death until they see the kingdom of God." He's basically saying this: you've got to crucify your flesh. The flesh is a crazy thing. I want to talk to you. The flesh is a crazy thing. I mean, there's people that are driven by their flesh in this day and age. I mean, look around you, the drug craze, you know, people are on drugs. People are trying to justify, they're out there to satisfy their flesh. I mean, they're out there acting like marijuana is the savior of the world. All it is an opioid. It's just the government pushing it down their throats because they want to legalize the production of it here. So, because it's being shut off at the border, so they want to start production within our borders. That's what that's all about. Because that cabal's all making a big profit off of it, and they're making bank off of it. I mean, they're making bank like hand over fist. And they just sit there and they profit off dumbing down and desensitizing so they can get the vote in. Anyway, they push this agenda down our throat so people can get hooked on it. Oh, it's got health benefits and it's got all this. It doesn't do anything, really. I mean, actually they're curing cancer by putting cancer in you, because if they don't want the people to know that it's got more cancer causing agents in it than tobacco, vaping, what have you. It's way more serious. I mean, they don't tell people that. Instead, it's like they're just feeding you to the enemy. I mean, people are ruled by their flesh. People say, "Oh well, all sin is sin." We've got this big old grace revolution going on, and it's garbage grace. I mean, you're just living by the law. No. It says it in the Old Testament, too. The Old Testament magnifies. The New Testament is the Old Testament magnified. Yeah, we're under the grace, but that's just our warning sign. You better start walking straight, or there's going to be a consequence. People live like they shouldn't have to pay the consequences. There's a consequence for your actions. I mean, in modern days, I mean, they act like Jesus. I mean, I'll tell you something about another thing about this deal with marijuana. If I ever read in the scripture where Jesus is, if the Bible said, put it this way, I'll be fair with this. If it ever says in the Bible that Jesus sat and rolled a joint and sat there and toked on it, bong, or shot up or anything, then okay. Then I'm all for it. But it doesn't, and I'm not for it. If it's not in this word, I don't want it. I'm sorry, I don't want it. We are living in a day and age where everything's that's not okay is okay. Because we got to satisfy our flesh. Well, we don't want to talk about conviction. We don't really don't agree with convicting people. Being convicted, getting convicted. Well, what do you want them to do? I mean, if they act like, I mean, people, I mean, even like with this deal with Kanye West, Christians are throwing a fit about it. How do you know he really got saved? And they're the ones, same ones that preaching this garbage grace. Well, how do you know he really got saved? He really didn't get saved. He didn't get. And thinking, what are you going to be happy when he dies? If he went to hell to die tomorrow and wasn't saved and he died and went to hell tomorrow, they'd probably be happy for it. I'm serious. Would it make you happy if he wasn't saved? So you can have something else to gripe about? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we've got to be crucified. We got to crucify our flesh. The wants and desires of the lust of the flesh. I mean, the Bible even specifically talks about what are the things of the lust of the flesh. I mean, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, those who were born again of the Spirit, he shall be led by the Spirit and live by the Spirit, and their flesh shall rule them not. I mean, it's right here. I got it right here. It says it right in this word here. Right here, chapter 5 and verse 7. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do these things that you would. I mean, if these things that you're normally doing, you really shouldn't be doing them, Paul's saying. Actually, it's not Paul saying it, it's God saying it. You can't do these, he says you cannot do these things that you would. But you be led by the Spirit, and you are not if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I mean, so if you're working under righteousness and living under righteousness, you're not subject to the law, but if you violate any part of this Spirit and underneath the grace, you are subject to the law. You are subject to a consequence that is punishable by law. It's no different than if you go. I went down there and I robbed a filling station. If I went down there and robbed that filling station, I would have to do a penalty. I would have to pay a penalty for it. I mean, I robbed that filling station. I go up there and I tell the judge, you don't understand. I'm led by the Spirit and not by the law. And the judge is going to laugh. Okay. Life in prison. I mean, that's the bottom line. The law is the mirror image of this, is the example set on how we are to live. It helps govern our lives. We are still under the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He did not abolish the law not one bit. Every part of this word is applied to our life. Take the pages out, whatever, which one you choose. You got to abide by all of it. I mean, if that would be the case, then okay, go out and commit adultery. Go cheat on your wife. Go smoke dope, go out and get drunk and kill somebody in a car accident. Go out and knock off the Piggly Wiggly. I mean, seriously. We've got to get a grip here. This has gotten too far. I mean, this is not a restaurant menu. You know, this is the ingredients of what we are to be made up of. This word is our ingredients. It's the ingredients of which we live by. The way our life should be. It's the ingredients of our life. I mean, every part of it should be applied. I mean that if that was the case, then I'd say, go ahead, go down there and rob that filling station. If that's the case, if all sin is sin, basically, these preachers that are preaching this stuff, I'm telling you right now, they're leading a generation straight to hell. I mean, this is garbage grace. It's garbage. I mean, they don't teach this. They're not teaching the full word of God. It's because they're living in sin themselves, and they don't know how to deal with their convictions. So they muffle it out and with this garbage grace, because they're too prideful to repent. I mean, I said because they're too prideful to repent. We've got to quit being prideful of our repentance. For one, the Bible says in Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven, and then I shall heal their land." It's not the opposite way around. And then God just heals up, and then, oh, okay, God, all right, since you just went ahead and healed our land, oh, we're going to be good now. We're going to be good. No, it's not that way. We are subject to the Old Testament. We are subject to the New Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament magnified. Jesus came and increased the law. He said, "You shall love your neighbor as you love thyself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart." He increased the law. He increased it. He made it even bigger. He didn't come to take things away. I mean, he had to set the record straight. He went in, these people that are preaching this garbage grace are no different than the scribes and Pharisees who were in the temple selling sacrifices and sacrifices, the money changers and everything, selling off doves and selling off sacrifices and using the house of God for their own benefit. The house of God is not for our own benefit. It's for His benefit. And the way we benefit Him is by living a crucified life. By crucifying our flesh. We've got to crucify the flesh. I mean, what is it? For example, you get these preachers out there. I'm thinking, I'd like to know where they get their theology from. I mean, they need to quit buying these Cracker Jacks boxes when they took their money that they went to Bible school with and went out and bought Cracker Jacks boxes, thinking they'd get theology degrees when they really got lick-on tattoos. They got the wrong prize. Their Cracker Jacks box got the wrong prize. I mean, it ain't just do what you want. It ain't just we're good. We're all saved. All sin is sin. We all sin. We've got to get past the grace is our warning sign. People have abused grace so much that to the point where it's totally changed the entire. If you change one, but let me make this clear. Make it more simple. You change grace, okay? You change any part of this word here, it changes the course of the entire gospel. It changes the course of the entire gospel. Bible says those who take away shall be the word of God shall not be added to or taken away. There should be a curse, and then there'll be plagues and all this other stuff. The Bible is very clear on that. He means it, and God means it. When you're out there taking away or adding to the Word of God, the Bible says basically you became an enemy with God, and that's not a good thing. He goes, "I am a jealous God. I share my glory with no man." I mean, it means that it all belongs to Him. I mean, I see these preachers sometimes on TV, in Christian television, where they're tooting their own horn and making themselves look like they got it. that they're the supreme being and that they're the only way. I mean, they're not the only way. I mean, you get the, it's in a lot of it, there's so much manipulation in the body of Christ too. I mean, where they manipulate people and make people feel inferior so they keep them coming, you know. We're not under no curse. We're not under these generational curses that people are preaching about are just totally bogus. The curse is broken. Jesus came to break the curse. He came to break the curse. The curse is broken. There's no generation. You're not what your late relatives are. I mean, you kidding me? My great grandmother. Was the Belle of St. Louis. She owned a series of inns, and when you say inns, there was stuff that went on there. She was a madam. But does it make me one? I mean, God forbid if I'd ever get in something like that, I'd die broke. I mean, we've got to get a grip here, church. This teaching that they're teaching in the body of Christ has got to be shut down. It doesn't hold water. There's a lot of holes in it. You're trying to put out a fire. You're trying to put out a fire and filling up a wiffle ball. By filling up a wiffle ball and dousing water on a fire using a wiffle ball. Wiffle ball has all those holes all around it. And they're dipping it in, and the water's coming out before it can even get to the fire, and it don't serve no purpose, basically. Like they say, useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works. It takes faith to be saved. It takes faith to live righteous. It takes faith to live holy. It's a faithless, crossless teaching. It's a faithless, crossless Christianity. No sacrifice involved. So we don't have to worry about being convicted. I mean, an innocent man was brutally beaten for sins we committed. We have no... I don't know how to say this. I'm kind of stuck on this. Our own righteousness is nothing. It's worthless. The Bible says it's worthless as menstrual rags. I wanted to try to have it. We're helpless without our faith, and if that's the case, all sin is sin, and we all sin, and we're all going to be saved anyway. Jesus died in vain. Jesus died for no reason. You're just pretty much taking the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and just throwing it out the window. You basically told Jesus that his death meant nothing to you. I said you basically told Jesus his death meant nothing to you. When you're believing all this garbage theology, this garbage grace, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't assimilate anything. It's not productive. It's being castrated trying to produce a baby. You're trying to make a castrated cow produce a calf. You've taken the entire power out of the gospel. You've stripped it void. Bible, and that's what tradition and religion comes to do. It comes to strip down religion. I mean, it comes down to strip down Christianity. Create a cartoon character and substitute it with some cartoon character because they're really convicted by the power of God. They don't want to deal with the power of God because that'll convict them. So they'll use something, some other avenue, and dress it up and make it look like Christianity when it really ain't. I mean, I'm not here to sit there and pound people down or try to make people feel bad or try to make people... I'm on here to wake people up, make people understand that when you get out there and you're living life like like there's no consequences in your life. Like there's no power. Like there's no way to. There's no penalty for your actions. I mean, it's serious business. I mean, God takes that serious. I mean, God, they almost act like God's, they're here and God is over here. Pastor Rick said that perfectly. People live like they're here and God's over there. God is, they fail to realize that God is everywhere. God is everywhere. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. You cannot get away from him. And he will know it before you even do it because he knows your thoughts. The Bible says, he knows my thoughts before I process them. I mean, people love satisfying the flesh. I mean, you get, for instance, the sex trade industry. The sex industry. Selling pornography and claiming that it's helping marriage. How is watching another couple have sex going to help this couple over here achieve a good marriage? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. I mean, they buy sex toys and they call them marital aids when it's really causing women to separate from their husbands, causing division in the marriage. When it causes division, it causes that woman to draw away from her husband. It's part of that agenda too, that's out there. It's part of that globalist agenda too. It's out there to cause divide in a marriage. The same with the ones they make for men. It's all disgusting. I tell you right now, it's demonic. It's demonic. It's disgusting, and it needs to be. And Christians have no business going down that avenue. They have no business going into a sex shop. A little bit of lie with a bunch of truth is deception. The Bible says where lightness abides, darkness can't abide with it. Darkness cannot abide in light. It's impossible. I can't just take an area just as a cubic yard area right here, right in front of me, and just make it go black because the light penetrates through the darkness. The light exposes the darkness. It exposes what's in that darkness. It penetrates through it. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Living by the flesh is not a good thing. When you live by the flesh, you're basically being fed by the enemy. You're being driven into a reprobate. The Bible says they've given themselves over to a reprobate mind. That means you've started to live and believe a lie. It's just like realism. Realism, for instance, this is a guy right here. This is Fred. This is George. This is Al. This is Jim. This is Bob, and this is Clyde, this guy saying this is the truth. This guy says this is the truth. This guy believes that he thinks is the truth. And whatever all six of these men to get together, even if they have different truths, their truths are all the truth. That's what you're basically saying. It's not the way it goes. There's only one truth. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the only truth, and I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes before the Father but through me. So this book is everything that Jesus is. This is the basic DNA of who Jesus is in this word. If God took one part, I believe with the fear of God, if you took one punctuation out of this book, if God took one punctuation, just one period, and were totally removed it from his word, everything would cease to exist because he would cease to be God. I said everything would cease to exist because he would cease to exist to be God. Because everything is held together. All things are held together by him. Amen. I mean, this is stuff that you need to really get a hold of. Second Corinthians chapter 6. I'm getting somewhere. This is where it's going to get good. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness to do with law? What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Light and darkness cannot have fellowship with each other. It's either in the light or it's in the dark. It's either one or the other. What accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, and be separate from them, says the Lord. He's saying it right here. You got to separate yourself from the things of unrighteousness. You got to crucify that flesh. You can't be living by the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. If I go upstairs, here's the thing on drinking alcohol. Okay, I go upstairs and I turn on my tap upstairs and it starts coming out wine, coming from the spring. This is on a well. If it comes out of the ground and it's coming out smelling like spirits and smelling and tasting like wine, then I'm going to be drinking, chug-a-lugging. Until then, you ain't getting it near my lips. And be separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You can't get any more direct than that. It says be separate from that stuff. Stop affiliating yourself with something. I mean, you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're putting your Christian. If Jesus is that precious to you, doing the things, involving yourself in the things of the world. I mean, the Bible also talks about it. It says if anybody is a drunkard, an idolater, an adulterer, or a fornicator, or any of these things. The Bible says, do not even eat with them. Don't partake in what they're doing. Don't break bread with these people. Stay away from the unrighteous people. Because when you get around that thing that's influencing them, that you think you're going to minister to them, that thing that's in them is going to start ministering to you, and you're going to be their biggest disciple before long. It's like this. It works like this. When you satisfy the flesh, it's like this. When they capture a monkey in the wild, monkeys love wild rice. Monkeys just love wild rice. They put that, they take a coconut, and they hollow out the coconut, and they fill that coconut with wild rice, and that monkey puts his hand down in that coconut. He can't let go because he don't know to open up his hand. And if you're not careful, and they capture him, they tranquilize him, and they carry him up, and put next thing you know, the monkey wakes up. And if you don't watch it, watch what you're doing. If you don't be, if you're not careful, that the devil's gonna take you. He's gonna got the coconut sitting there full of rice, and then before you know it, you're gonna be locked up in his zoo and locked away, and you're gonna die, not fulfilling your purpose in some place that you could have avoided in the first place. I said you're gonna die in a place that you could have been able to avoid. If you had not gotten, if you had crucified your flesh in the first place, this is a deadly thing. What's this got to do with salvation, healing, signs, wonders, and miracles? It has everything to do with it. Has everything to do with it. I said it has everything to do with it. We've got to crucify that flesh. It's got to be done away with. Just like I did that message, it's time to take out the trash. Throw it in the can, bag it up, take it out to the curb and haul it off to the dump and bury the thing and leave it in the ground to rot and go away. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Amen? Just get it out of your life. You got to get it out of your life. You got to take control. God has given you dominion. The power to tread on serpents. He shall give you power to tread on serpents. He shall do that. The reason why Jesus died is so that we could have the power through his name, in his name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you've got to crucify the flesh. There's no other way around it. You've got to come down to your first love. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, people with this garbage grace, you know, and I mean they think, well, I was all black and white, but now I see all gray in this thing. What? The Bible says light has no place in darkness. Darkness has no place in light. You can't mix the two together. I mean, this is the way it goes. I mean, this piece of metal here, I welded this together. I fused these two pieces of metal together because they are equally yoked. This represents us. This represents believers. We should be welded to believers. We should weld ourselves to believers in the Word, no matter what it takes. We need to weld ourselves together with believers. There's no way I can break this off of here unless I get a torch and I heat that up to a good, or I grind it and I cut it off. This was done on a welder. This is a penetrated weld because it's burnt all the way through. You could tell because it was burnt all the way through. This is my name. You can see the name, my name. J-O-H-N is burnt all the way through there. I put my name on this. But it's burnt through on the other side. That's what, take that name, take your name off there and put Jesus. Jesus, this is the way we should live. We should live like this. Burn the name of Jesus so far into yourselves where it goes through you, where people see that his name through you, completely through. No matter which side you look at it, they're going to see the name of Jesus all over you. Amen. I mean, is this helping people? I hope I'm helping people because this is what I'm trying to do. This is about winning, about the right kind of. I mean, we've pumped so much false doctrine in the church, and we've bent doctrine, and we've done this to accommodate our our mentality, the comedy, our unrighteous living. Well, it's okay if we have sex outside of marriage. God will forgive us. We can live together. We love each other, and love is love. No, love is not love. God is love, and God is holy. In holiness, unrighteousness cannot abide. Unrighteousness can't abide. Well, I kind of like this guy, so I'm going to sleep with him. You know, you get to try the car out. Yeah, and you get pregnant or get an STD, then what? You get an STD. I mean, you get an STD. You get pregnant. This guy dumped you, or you get a girl pregnant and she's holding the baby from withholding the baby from you, playing mind games and manipulating. The wages of sin is death, folks. Downright is death. The Bible says there's the wages of sin is death. God takes sin very seriously. People have failed to realize this. God's not in heaven saying, okay, you did that. Come on in. Shh. Hey, come. It's like, they act like God's like some sort of nightclub bouncer that just slip them $1,000 and they let you in ahead of everybody. Go on. Got that mansion in the corner. Just go on. You guys, just go on. I won't know. Nobody will know a thing. God does not live like that. God is holy. We have a holy God. He does not. He sin. He knows not. I mean, there's this perverted ideology out there that Jesus had sex with a woman. That Jesus was in love. I mean, people have become so brainwashed to the things of this world. It's sickening. It brings me to tears. It grieves me. Jesus was a spotless, sinless Lamb of God who was crucified for the sins of the world. Our healing existed before we did. Our salvation existed before we did. Because Jesus said, the Bible says, Jesus, before the foundation of Jesus Christ was crucified. Crucified, died, and was buried and resurrected before the foundation of the earth. It goes into detail. If before all this happened, he was crucified. He knew, God knew right away, before even Adam and Eve came there, that we would need a Savior. That's the kind of God he needed. He knew. He knew that we were going to screw up. Because the flesh is weak. We're not him. We're not God. We're made in his image, but we're not him. We're not deities. People think, oh, there's this religion, this crazy religion that thinks that we all physically make up Jesus, and Jesus all existed in just people who just believed in his spirit and all have the deity of Jesus. I'm thinking, that's crazy. There's only one place that we are deserving, and that's going to hell. I mean, this convictionless Christianity crap needs to stop. This garbage grace needs to stop. You know who lives without rules like that, without sanctions and laws and stuff like that? Cults do. Without no sacrifice, no crucifixion, no death, burial, and resurrection, no power of the Holy Spirit. You know who lives like that? Cults do. Because you got somebody, it puts somebody else besides God in leadership, and that leadership is being inspired by the pit of hell. Amen. We've got to stay living by the Spirit of God. Those who are born again of the Spirit shall live by the Spirit of God, and their flesh shall rule them not. I said their flesh shall rule them not, so you got to kill that flesh. Kill it all off. Kill it and put it on an altar and burn it so there's nothing left. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that the darkness shall not abide in light, and light shall not abide in darkness. That the one shall cancel the other out. We thank you for your Son, sending your Son to die for us. There's people watching this broadcast and you're living without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to make you an invitation right now to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and make him your Lord and your Savior. Say this after me, dear Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus to be born again of the Spirit and death dead to my flesh. I thank you, Father God, that you said in your word that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that I shall be saved. And I, Father God, I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my risen Lord and as my risen Savior. Holy Spirit, baptize me. Transform me and let me never be the same again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, this is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministries, please contact me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.